And we will be reading text 44, 45, and 46. Idam mityam iti prayas, tava yogeshvara ishvaram, na vidanti api yogesham, yogamayam kutovayam. Idam mityam iti prayas, tava yogeshvara ishvaram, na vidanti api yogesham, yogamayam kutobhayam. Idam mitam iti prayas, tava yogeshvara ishvaram, na vidanti api yogesham, yogamayam kutovayam. Idam, this, itam, characterized like this. Iti, in such terms, prayam, for the most part, tavam, your, yogaishvaram, of the masters of yoga, Ishvaram, this O Supreme Master, Navidanti, they do not know, Api, even, Yoga Isham, the masters of Yoga, Yoga Mayam, your spiritual power of delusion, Kutam, what then of, Vayam, us. Translation, what to speak of ourselves, O Lord of all perfect yogis, even the great mystics do not know what your spiritual power of delusion is or how it acts. Purport. Systematic understanding of something should include knowledge of both its swarup or essential identity and also its vishesh, the attributes that make it different from other things. Maya, the energy underlying all material existence, is more subtle than ordinary phenomena. Only God and His liberated devotees, therefore, can know its swarup and vishesh. We will also read text 45. Tanna prasidan nirapeksha vimindya yusma padaravinda dashanaya grihanda kupad nishkramya vishva saranantra kaladda vritti Shanto yataika utasarva sasai charami. Please be merciful to me, so I may get out of the blind well of family life, my false home, and find the true shelter of your lotus feet, which selfless sages always seek. Then, either alone or in the company of great saints, who are the friends of everyone, I may wander freely, finding life's necessities at the feet of the universally charitable trees. Purport. Śrīla Viṣvanātha Cakravarti states that in response to Bali's prayers, Śrī Krishna invited him to choose some benediction. And in this verse, Bali submits his request. Bali begs to be relieved of the entanglement of material life so he will be free to leave home and wander in the wilderness. With only the Lord's lotus feet as his shelter, with only lotus feet as his shelter. For his substance, Bali proposes he will take help from the forest trees at whose feet are fruits to eat and leaves to sleep on for all to use as needed. And if the Lord is especially merciful to him, Bali hopes he will not have to wander alone but will be allowed to travel in the company of Lord Krishna's devotees. And text 46. Shadya asman shitavyascha nishpapan kuruna prabom puman yachandaya tashasham nyamuchyatem. O Lord of all subordinate creatures, please tell us what to do and thus free us of all sin. One who faithfully executes your command, O Master, is no longer obliged to follow the ordinary Vedic rites. Purport. The Acharyas explain Bali's thoughts as follows, reflecting on the possibility that his request for immediate deliverance may have been too bold. Bali Maharaj considered that first he will need to become sufficiently purified. In any case, he thinks Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram must have come to him for some specific purpose. If he can receive the Lord's order and carry it out, that will be his best opportunity for purification. Indeed, as Bali states, a devotee acting under the personality of Godhead's instruction need no longer follow the sacrificial injunctions and prohibitions of the Vedas. Idam matam miti prayas tava yogeshvara ishvaram navidanti api yogesham yogamayam kutovayam. What to speak of ourselves, O Lord of all perfect yogis, even the greatest mystics do not know what your spiritual power of delusion is or how it acts. Om jnana timarandasya gananjana shalakya Chakshurumitam yena tasmin shri gurave namaha. Jaya shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Vanchakalpatarubhisha Krita Sinvevacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha. So, in the verse 44, we see Bali is basically saying the Lord is master of all the mystic yogis. And the word he is using Yoga Ishvara Ishvaram. So he is the supreme master of all the mystics. And he is questioning, how is it possible, after, you know, so many years and so many austerities, many great yogis, they rarely achieve that chance to have a darshan of the Lord. But here the Lord appeared on his sweet will. So he is questioning, and he is actually taking very humble position. In the few verses preceding this one, Bali Maharaj is also saying, I have no special qualification. I'm just ordinary householder, but the Lord, he appears just due to his causeless mercy. And we can see how that attitude is so essential. There is a saying that the tree that bears the fruits and flowers naturally will bow down in a very humble position. And on the other hand, the tree that doesn't really provide fruits and flowers will, stand kind of like, in a proud position. So similarly, the devotee who is actually possessing all the good qualities, he is very humble, and Bali Maharaj is showing that by his personal example. So Bali denied any spiritual qualification for being visited by Lord. He's saying even persons like us, situated in the moods of passion and ignorance, can easily see you when you reveal yourself by your own sweet will. So it's also interesting to note that Bali is not just, any devotee. As we know, we have 12 great Mahajans, and Bali is one of them. And we know how actually previously when demigods lost the post to the heavenly planet and Bali occupied the Indra's post, basically the mother of demigods, she performed great austerities, great tapasya, payavrata, so that Lord Vamana actually appeared just to fulfill her desire. And eventually, Lord Vamanadev approached Bali and asked for the charity. He appeared as a little boy, beautiful brahmachari. And Bali just was fascinated by his beauty, by his purity. So he asked him, "Dear Brahmana boy, please ask anything in charity. I will give you whatever you ask." And now Shukracharya, who is the spiritual master of Bali, he realized this is not ordinary Brahmana. This little boy, he is Vishnu himself. And he actually started telling Bali, no, don't do that. He will take everything. So Bali, he first, considered his situation, and he realized, even if he is Vishnu, how can I not fulfill my promise? I already made the offer. I am the grandson of Prahlad. I cannot break a promise. So he actually disobeyed the order of his spiritual master, Shukracharya, and he offered to Vamanadev charity, whatever he wished. So Vamanadev, he simply said, "I only need 3 steps of land. That's all I wish." And Bali, he thought like, "Hey, I am the king, You only ask for 3 steps. You should ask for something more." And he explained, because I possess, all the universe, I defeated Indra's, kingdom, and, I can give you anything you wish, So please ask for something more, because after you ask me, you shouldn't have to go to anybody else to ask for any other charity. But Lord Vamanadev, he explained, if the person is not satisfied with the simple necessities, if person is not capable of controlling the senses and mind, then, you know, even the free words wouldn't be sufficient. Even all the possession in all the creation will not fulfill that person's desires. So he explained, you know, three steps is all I need. So Bhagat said, okay, let it be as you wish. And at that point, as we know, Lord Vamanadev, he expanded his transcendental form. And even if the first two steps, he covered pretty much everything from the lower planetary systems up to Satyaloka, even to the point that the layers of the universe were pierced by his toenail. So after that happened, he said, basically, you know, I covered all the creation, and you know, you still have to fulfill your promise. And at that point, Bali actually fully surrendered. And as we know, out of the nine processes of devotional service, Bali is actually one who represents full surrender. And basically, he explained to the Lord, you know, I give what I have nothing else, but please, you know, place your lotus feet on my head. That is the only thing that's left. So, basically, Lord Vamana then at that point did that. And later on, it is explained actually in the 8th canto how Lord Vamana was so pleased by his devotion, that even despite the Shukracharya's advice not to do that, he actually, you know, he risked everything for the king to be left, you know, powerless, without any kingdom, any possession, any land. That's it. There is nothing else. King has to rule. He has to possess the land and power. So, but Bali was willing to give it up all. And he even explained, whatever I have, it will be taken away, you know, sooner or later. May as well use it while I'm alive. May as well use it for a good cause. So Lord Vamana was so pleased that actually the story goes on. He arrested Bali. First, the demon soldiers of Bali, they became so disturbed that Bali lost everything. They actually attacked Vamana. But, you know, the associates of Lord Vamana, they easily defeated them without any questions. So Bali said, please do not fight. You know, this is not our time. You know, this is not time for us to be victorious. Previously we were victorious, but at the present time the circumstances have changed, so do not fight. So at that point, Garuda, understanding the wish of the Lord, he arrested Bali. But it is explained, Vamanadev, he simply wanted to actually use that as opportunity to even glorify his devotee more. So he made all that scene where Bali is arrested. So Garuda arrested Bali with the ropes of Varuna, and then he was chastising him, saying, you didn't fulfill your promise, I have to arrest you now. So at that time, even Prahlad, who is grandfather of Bali, he appeared there, and he was saying, and he was praising the Lord Vamana. He was saying, my dear Lord, when you made this, you know, foolish demon king of the heavens, you know, you acted so beautifully. And now that you have taken everything, you again acted so beautifully. So when you gave him kingdom, you acted perfectly. Now that he took it away, you also did a wonderful activity. So as Prahlad was walking in, Bali was just standing, you know, in a helpless position, thoughtfully wrapped in the ropes of Varuna. And he was ashamed. He so much looked up to be Prahlad. Prahlad is his grandfather, and he wanted to please him. But, you know, he at this point was so helpless. So he just offered his obeisance, you know, bowed his head, and tears were coming, you know, from his eyes. So even Lord Brahma appeared there. And at that point, basically, wife of Bali, she started praying. And she actually spoke very intelligently. She said, "My dear Lord, this foolish king, he actually thought that he can offer you, you know, his head for the last step. But little that he knows, he doesn't even possess his body. You know, everything belongs to you either way." So his wife Vidyavali was praying, and in such, you know, way, she was, you know, begging the Lord to please release him. And then Lord Vamana, he actually, you know, explained that he's really pleased by Bali's surrender. And he said, basically he said, "Because of his great tolerance, I have given him a place not obtainable even by the demigods. He will become king of the heavenly planets during the period of Manu known as Savarni. Until Bali Maharaj achieves the position of king of heaven, he shall live on the planet Sutala, which was made by Vishwakarma, according to my order. Because it is especially protected by me, it is free from mental and bodily miseries, fatigue, dizziness, defeat, and all other disturbances. Bali Maharaj, you may now go live there peacefully." So this basically tells us how Bali ended up being on Sutala planet. And so here we see Krishna and Balaram visiting him to deliver the sons of Mother Devaki. And now Bali is, you know, taking this opportunity to question. Basically, while Lord is visiting him, he is praying. In verse 45, he's saying, "Please be merciful to me so I may get out of the blind well of family life, my false home, and find the true shelter of your lotus feet, which selfless sages always seek. Then, either alone or in the company of great saints, who are friends of everyone, I may wander freely, finding life's necessities at the feet of the universally charitable trees." So as Bali is praying here, Prabhupada is explaining this particular junction in Krishna book, how Bali's aspiration is actually to travel freely as Paramahamsa. Prabhupada is saying, Paramahamsa is the supreme swan, and the quality of swan is that it can easily separate the milk from the water. So Prabhupada is explaining, any person who can distinguish clearly and take the spiritual essence, even in this material world, is called Paramahamsa. So in this particular example, we see how Bali's aspiration is, he wants to actually be that kind of devotee. He actually is seeking association of Paramahamsas. First, he's saying, you know, "I wish to roam alone in a forest, but if I have to associate with anybody, let it be, you know, your pure devotees." So in this particular example, we also see how even Bali, who is, you know, highly, highly elevated personality, one of the Mahajans, you know, he's still seeking more spiritual advancement. And that tells us we should never think, "Oh, I have achieved, you know, this and this level in my spiritual life." No, we always have to be looking for more and more Lord's mercy and more ways to serve Him. There is one interesting example, or better to say story, I heard from Sachinandan Swami, which nicely illustrates how devotee actually should question and actually be very, very introspective in analyzing, you know, our own activities and our own life. One time there was a phone call. Sachinandana Swami explains, basically, King of Puri, he wanted to come to Germany to visit devotees and visit Germany and, you know, basically explore and learn more about Western philosophy and Western, basically, German philosophers. So he was coming basically on a pleasure trip to Germany. So the temple in India phoned temple in Germany and said, "He's the King of Puri coming." So they made, you know, welcome arrangements, and Maharaj, you know, was very kind to host him as a guest at one of our temples there. So after short visit, they actually became very close friends. So much so that later on, King of Puri invited Maharaj to come to Jagannath Puri and actually stay with him in, you know, in exchange. So sometime later on, Sachinandana Maharaj was visiting India, and he decided to actually visit Puri and visit the king. And so he did that. So as he was staying at his palace, they had very, you know, nice discussions about Krishna consciousness, about philosophy. And so they would talk for a long time. And one morning, as Maharaj woke up, he heard some loud commotion in distance, some music or whatever it was. So he came out to his room and he was wondering what's going on. And he saw soldiers, you know, dressed in their uniforms, you know, playing the, if you have to explain, but one of those melodies that are generally played if there is a funeral ceremony. So there was a military band marching, playing instruments in that kind of, you know, ceremony. And as he came closer, he realized they were actually carrying dead body in a stretcher. So he was wondering, you know, what in the world is going on? So he came, you know, a little bit closer. He was curious, you know, who that was. And as he came closer, he got shocked. Oh my God, it's a king. He's lying dead. And he was thinking, like, how is it possible? I just talked to him last night. You know, he was just totally surprised. Like, you know, was he sick or something that he was not aware? And he was looking. Yeah, he was lying there. His eyes were closed. And he was just totally shocked. So the marching band was, you know, proceeding through the courtyard, and they were going, and then they came to another side of the courtyard, and then they all of a sudden stopped. The music stopped. They put the body down on the ground, and then all of a sudden the king, he got up. He got up and started walking. So Maharaj was thinking, wait a second, something is not right here. So he approached the king and said, "Could you please explain what is going on?" So the King of Puri, he said, "Well, this is just a small ritual that I do every day." And he said, "I imagine that I have left my body, and I question myself, what was my dharma, and have I lived it properly? So every day I do that, and I ask myself these questions, and then I make a plan for my next day." So Maharaj realized, this is really wonderful. This is really wonderful, because if you would, you know, even for a moment stop in our life and question, am I doing everything I could to surrender my heart to the Lord? What can I improve today? Okay, I did this yesterday. I did this service yesterday. I chanted my rounds. I did my puja. I did so many things. But what can I improve today? Then there's so many opportunities. There is so many wonderful things that we can find. And Krishna will definitely give us intelligence to see those things if we are honestly asking and requesting that. So I just kind of wanted to relate a little story. In a few more minutes. And then finally in the verse 46. So after Bali's, he prayed like that. He actually started thinking, Lord Krishna and Balaram, they must have come here for a certain purpose. And he started thinking and saying, please tell us what to do and thus free us of all sin. One who faithfully executes your command, O Master, is no longer obliged to follow the ordinary Vedic rites. So this is another very interesting junction where Bali first he offered his prayers, you know, he had his aspiration, you know, to go in a forest and wander freely. But then he realized, wait a second, the Lord is here for a certain reason. And then he inquired in humble way and asked, you know, how can I really serve you? And then Krishna explained why he came. And he came to actually deliver the sons of Devaki, which at that point Bali actually surrendered and gave the sons of Devaki back to the Lord. But this also is very, very interesting point because it is essential for us to understand how Lord Chaitanya appeared for a certain purpose in this age. So as the followers of Mahaprabhu, it is very important for us to understand his mission, spreading the holy names and trying to basically cultivate that attitude ourselves, where the Lord's mercy is given freely. There is a very nice verse that I wanted to share. I offer my respectful obeisance unto Sri Krishna Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, who are like the sun and moon. They have risen simultaneously on the horizon of Gauda to dissipate the darkness of ignorance and thus wonderfully bestow benediction upon all. So we can see in this verse how Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya, they appeared to actually dissipate the darkness in this age of Kali. Prabhupada often used to say, pure devotee is like a moon. He shines and illuminates the darkness in the midst of the night. So he would often say, but I want many moons. He wanted all of his disciples to become pure devotees. He said, I don't want just one moon. I want many moons. I don't want shooting stars who will go up and then come down. But I want pure devotees. I want full moons that will illuminate this age of Kali and spread the mercy of Lord Chaitanya throughout the all planet. So we can see we have a great opportunity to participate in this wonderful mission of spreading Sankirtan of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the more we take part, the more we will feel blissful and the more we will help others as well. So I will stop here. If any of you have any questions or critics or comments, please be kind to me. Yes, Mother Sukada. Okay.
just want to thank you for a wonderful class and so many nice examples and great storytelling involved. And especially, I'd never heard that story about the King of Puri before. And it's really amazing if you actually thought like that every day, like, well, what if tomorrow's my last day? Well, how you would do things differently. So thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you. Yeah, Maharaj basically explained, when we think of living body, it essentially puts everything in the right perspective. We then can really see what's the priority in our life, and we can arrange our life in a proper way. Yes, Madam Mohan Prabhu.
I recall that Srila Prabhupada would say that one should think that he's death could come at any time, and we're not very advanced in Krishna consciousness. And if you think like that, similar to the Puri, then you orient yourself. Because when they used to ask Prabhupada about how come, he says, I'll take up Krishna consciousness when I get older. So you remember how Prabhupada would answer that. He said, what is old? And he says, old is someone who could die at any time. So everybody's old. That way. And at least if you get ill, it's a good time to think about it. Because you're not so busy doing so many things. So you could think, maybe I'll die.
Yeah.
Maybe. 100%.
Is it that all the kings of Puri have to do that?
To be honest, I don't know the exact detail, but I believe it was just one individual, and I don't know which particular one. Pranagovinda, please.
I was a little worried because I was wondering to ask you when was that, because a couple of years back we had a dinner with King Puri and Radhanath Maharaj, myself, and Ranga Prabhu. I was thinking, like, he must have been after, because he cannot be alive because he had a dinner. So anyway, that was an interesting point you brought, that when Prahlad Maharaj came, Boli Maharaj, head was kneeled down, like, it's kind of a little embarrassment. Yeah. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gave a comment. Why not Boli Maharaj just show his face? Why he's feeling embarrassed and shedding tears? Because in Vamana Puran, it explains that one day Boli Maharaj was... Now Prabhupada gave a very nice... I'm going to go back there. Prabhupada says that Boli Maharaj became Mahaja. In Bombay, he was giving this lecture. He said there are 12 Mahajans, and Boli Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, the associate of the Lord, and he's a Mahajan eternally. Boli Maharaj and Prabhupada put in a purport in the 8th canto that by following the other Mahajan, he became Mahajan. So Prabhupada gave on that. So then from the audience, one Indian gentleman says, 12 Mahajan are most important. Now you are number 13, Prabhupada, and that is very important. Prabhupada said, if you follow, you will become 14. So Bhavan Puran says that one time Boli Maharaj, he was making a big celebration. They are into demoniac nature. They are very religious. They don't accept the authority of God. That's the only difference. But they're very religious. They do austerity, charity more than sometimes the Buddhists. And Prahlad Maharaj just arrived there. And he says, why are you making such a big elaboration, yajna and everything? Why not worship just Hari? That will be done. Just little service to Hari will fulfill your desire instead of spending so much for pleasing the demigod to do this. And Boli Maharaj did not agree with him. He said, grandfather, why you always supports our enemy? This is not fair. Hari, Supreme Lord, is always our enemy, and we are demon. We don't have to support. And then Prahlad Maharaj got very angry. He said, Boli, you are grandchild, but one day you will understand the importance of serving Supreme Lord. He said, but we have a Brahmana. We are pleasing Brahmana and that is enough. He said, no, nothing is enough until you serve the Supreme Lord. Maybe one day you lose everything, then you will understand the importance of Supreme Lord. So this happened that day. When Prahlad Maharaj appeared, he remembered the past time when he was a little child. And he was being cursed, you can say, blessing cursed by Prahlad Maharaj. That one day you lose everything, then you will know the importance of serving the Lord. It was very intimate. By the way, it was very interesting. Prabhupada made a point. What made complete of Bali Maharaj's surrender? And he put a one word. He said, the possessor is more valuable than his possession. So what Bali Maharaj actually gave, you can say 2 feet, was his possession. But Bamandev was interested in the soul surrender. Yeah. That's why Prabhupada made a very nice point that we have to give ourselves in Krishna consciousness first. Then we bring our mind and wealth and everything. Big difference. Thank you.
Thank you.
The Mahajans, they set the example for everyone else. And so we see, someone may think, well, Bali Maharaj, he disobeyed his guru. And so, can you comment on that?
Yeah. Prabhupada actually explains in 8th canto how in this particular junction it was proper thing to do. And Prabhupada comments in purport, because by instruction that Shukracharya was giving, he was actually hindering his spiritual progress. Prabhupada explains, because of that, it was actually appropriate to give him up as his spiritual master. And so Bali actually did right by disobeying his instruction. But I was reading later on, and I also find it quite interesting. After everything happened, and Bali and Prahlad left to Sutala, planetary system, Lord Vamana is actually asking, where was it? Oh, yeah, here. Lord Vamana is asking Shukracharya to kind of elaborate what was the Bali's fault. And Shukracharya, you know, he actually made a really interesting point. But one particular verse I like especially, and this is what Shukracharya is saying. He's saying, there may be discrepancies in pronouncing the mantras and observing the regulative principles. And moreover, there may be discrepancies in regard to time, place, person, and paraphernalia. But when your Lordship's holy name is chanted, everything becomes faultless. So this is Shukracharya saying, like, how chanting the Lord's holy name purifies everything. So it's really, you know, something bewildering to understand, was Shukracharya just acting for the sake of the pastime? Because he obviously understands, he has much deeper understanding of Lord Vishnu, and I mean, how otherwise he could say this about the holy name? Yeah, Prabhu?
Yeah, so Prabhupada was talking about the importance of hearing and chanting, and he said that Parikshit Maharaj had a 7 days notice. Prabhupada said, but we think, I have no such notice. I will live for 7 millions of years. So this is the difference. This is the difference in the mood. If you're thinking I'm going to live for 7 millions of years, you might not think it's urgent or so important to read the books. But when you have a 7 day notice, and then when Prabhupada said, who is old? Well, that means somebody who's close to death and you could die in the next minute. So how important and how urgent is it to take shelter?
Absolutely. Thank you all very much. Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.